blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 358, stanzas 1 and 3. When in his might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity. In transports then of joy and mirth, we praised the Lord of all the earth. 1 and 3 of 358.
verse to read from God's word this afternoon from the Gospel according to Mark, thereof chapter 16. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Now when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it was a great power that thou didst manifest on that day, when thou didst break forth out of that prison, out of the prison of death, wherein Satan attempted to hold thee, but thou hast shown that thou hast more power, a power even to bruise his head, as was told to our first parents already in paradise. O Lord, look upon us also in this afternoon hour. We have read that thou wast risen from the dead and didst also ascend into heaven. Oh, there thou didst sit at the right hand of power, and thou there didst go with them in that work that thou didst send them forth to do. Oh, Lord, they had to preach, they had to work, they had to do it in the sweat of their face because of our own sin. But thou didst work with them, showing thy great power and confirming thy holy word with signs following. O Lord, they did cast out devils in thy name. O, could thou send them forth from this place, even in this hour? For thou knowest how that he gathers. He gathers to shut our mouth. He gathers to shut our ears. He gathers to close our eyes and make us to fall asleep. O Lord, he gathers that he might stand in the way, that he may give temptations and blasphemy within the heart even of thy own church. O Lord, thou knowest how that by times, they do beseech thee from in all their wretchedness and misery for deliverance from that prince of darkness. Lord, he holds us as that prince in death, wherein that he was used as an instrument to bring us. O Lord, we beseech thee, as thou didst come forth from that grave, that thou wouldst break those bonds that are in the life of so many as we are gathered together here. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, we are to believe in thee. Oh, thou knowest that we cannot believe in thee except thou givest it unto us for the first time and by renewal. But thou art so powerful, and thou art so almighty, and thou canst in one moment speak and to stop a man on his journey and deliver him from the bands of death. Oh, could it be, Lord, also in this very hour? We cannot do that. We only can bring a few feeble words, and try to explain a little. But, Lord, when thou wilt work with signs following, to make that heart of rock into a heart that weeps with godly sorrow, to make it melt, to bring tears into the heart and into the eyes, to make a man remember all of his iniquity and all of his sin, to make his heart so to love thee as he does not love thee by nature. To give us, Lord, a new heart, a heart of flesh. Lord, we beseech thee. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and thou canst give them whether we are young or whether we are old. Thou can work it in the for the first time, but also by renewal for a people who must say, I remember the days of old, the years of ancient times. Could it be, Lord, also in this hour, that thou with thy spirit may break that heart that seems like it is overcovered with nothing but a crust. They cannot find it anymore, and they cannot weep anymore. Lord, they cannot affect their own heart anymore. Is it not proof that in the beginning it was all of thee? Lord, give them to see it. Give their heart to break under it. Thy great goodness, thy long suffering, when we have left thee days without number. Could it be, Lord, also in this afternoon, to give men to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? To give that holy perplexity and the fear of thy name, that we might know that we have to die and that we have to stand before a judgment seat that we are not able to stand before. Make us into poor people. Show unto us our great wretchedness and our poverty. Give us open eyes to see the beauty of thy dear and only begotten Son, who has done everything
that His people cannot do. O Lord, wilt Thou give us open eyes to behold the beauty of that thrice-worthy triune God? That Thou may come unto us, Lord. There is in Thee and no beauty that we should desire Thee by nature. O Lord, we have closed eyes and we have closed ears. We need to be born again. Oh, convert us, Lord. Convert us for the first time. Convert us again. Oh, forgive us also, for Thou knowest all our sin and all of our iniquity. And we need to be washed and to be cleansed in that precious and all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son. And we need to be renewed. Oh, we need new hearts that might serve Thee with all our heart, with all our might, with all our mind, with all our strength, that we may depart from every evil in this world, that it might be truly evil unto us, that sin may become sin, and against Thee, that holy, a good, and a long-suffering God, look on us then, Lord, Thy word is before us. Oh, could it be? And that it is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, both here and also elsewhere, wherever it is brought in truth and in sincerity over the face of this earth, our mission field, those that labor therein, and those that labor to come there, also those from this place, Lord, remember them, where they are, in all the studies that they must do, and all those that study, and all those that instruct them, and give them more servants, and may be called unto that ministry, that blessed ministry. It is a labor still in the sweat of our face. But Lord, when Thou comest over in it, and when Thou dost bless it, then it is a good labor. Then it is an easy work. Then it is a blessed work. Oh, could it be? And that it is laid also in the heart of this one or of that one, whom Thou dost call to do that work, and that Thou wilt go with in all their impossibility. Oh, that Thou may remember all the churches that are vacant. Lord, Thou knowest the labors of those office bearers. And then it is sometimes under great discouragement when the churches are declining, and not only in number, but also in lifestyle, and also in that spiritual life. Oh, Lord, then it can be so heavy by times for those office bearers. Oh, we beseech Thee that Thou may be on their right and on their left hand to give unto them the unction of Thy Spirit from on high, and a true cry unto the Lord of Sabaoth, who is able to bless the most simple means that might fulfill Thy will, and that Thou may look upon all that instruct, parents, teachers, all those that labor for the upcoming generation, be on the right and on the left, and fill and endue with Thy Spirit from on high, all that rule and reign over us, bring us again, those judges and that are in the land, and all of us as judges, oh, give us to do what is right, to know what is right, and that we might stand for truth and for justice, care for those that suffer from addictions. Oh, Lord, Thou knowest they are no different from all of us. We are all so addicted to sin, all that is living in the bottom, in the innermost recesses of our hearts, and we cannot stop it. Oh, Lord, Thou sayest resist the devil, and we cannot, because our heart loves the devil and everything that is devilish. Oh, but Thou can deliver from the devil. Oh, look upon them then, when sometimes, oh, even those do give a cry to heaven. Oh, Lord, hear that. Hear that crying. when it is coming to thee for help and for strength, and that they may be able to resist that great power in this world. Give them to know, Lord, and that it is not greater than thee, and that thou dost stand on their right and on their left. Oh, look upon all those with needs and cares that they bear alone. Lord, remember those that have needs of family, needs of business. Oh, wilt thou supply in all of our needs. Be with those that are in hospitals, young and old. Lord, thou knowest all that is necessary. Thou art the great physician. Supply from on high. Show and that we have a heart also that needs to be healed. Look upon us in this hour. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee once again. Stand now on our right and on our left. Oh, endue us and fill us with thy spirit from above, and that we might receive a little token of thy presence, of thy nearness, and that we might be given a little instruction upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave. Care for the children. Give them also attention in these difficult subjects. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 140 all the stanzas. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. And we remind the congregation, the young people, that Elder Arnold Dusen's catechism class does begin after the service this afternoon. Psalter 140. All the stanzas.
Beloved congregation, the Ethiopian eunuch, under the blessed preaching of the suffering Savior by Philip, did say, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" What did that eunuch want? He wanted a testimony of his inclusion. Does baptism include us? Say no. Baptism itself does not include us. Faith includes us. May you ever experience this. Bunyan says, faith, that is faith in that Son of God, includes, that faith pulls in to that kingdom of God. That is the experience. What then is baptism? Baptism is a testimony of that faith. Therefore, we read, Philip says to him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." Thus, that was so desirable for that eunuch, because that was for him a testimony that is coming from the Lord of a faith which was already had. That is just like Abraham's circumcision. Paul speaks about it. He says that is a seal of the righteousness that he had already as uncircumcised by faith. Thus, how does the soul receive this testimony of baptism? That is our question for this afternoon, which our fathers explained to us in this Lord's Day, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26. Lord's Day 26, which speaks about holy baptism in its essence. First, the analogy in holy baptism, which we find in question 69, and 70. Thus, question 69, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question and answer 70, what is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely. for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Thus the analogy that is in holy baptism. Second, the institution of holy baptism, question and answer 71. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This promise is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins, thus the institution of holy baptism. Holy baptism in its essence, the analogy in holy baptism, and the institution of holy baptism. Holy baptism, we say, in its essence. What does that mean, essence? Well, that means the essence of something is what makes that thing what it is, that distinguishes that thing from everything else. We might say, children, that that is the definition. So what is it? We spoke about a sacrament, and now we speak about the sacrament of baptism. And thus our fathers in this question and answer 69, they speak about how that the church is admonished and assured. So assurance, that is one of the main aims or purposes of holy baptism. And our fathers, they ask how that assurance is received now in the heart of a person who is baptized. And then they say in the very beginning, they say that Christ appointed this. So you will remember that last time we heard that there were two things that are necessary that something would be deemed a sacrament. Then there has to be a sign. And that sign has to have a natural analogy. And that sign has to be not man-made, but it has to be given from Christ himself. And now, in this Lord's Day, our fathers are laying out for us these two things concerning the sacrament of holy baptism in 69 to show the analogy, and in question 70 to explain that analogy, and in question 71 to show that it is instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So there is no other way that we can receive the assurance from holy baptism without the knowledge that this is not man-made, and without the explanation of the analogy that the Lord intends within this sacrament. Thus, that assurance that is arising about, from a certain reasoning of man about the promises of God. What does that mean? That means, young people, that reason and faith are not they are not against one another. No, but the Lord is using both of those things. Naturally, there is much religion, the Lord says, that is without faith. That is no religion. But faith is also never without reason, because the Lord, He strengthens faith through reason. We have spoken about reflection, that is, of the mind. How necessary then it is that we are also taking care of our mind, that we do not fill our minds with all the things that are able to corrupt our mind. That mind has been given to us over the beasts. That is one of the great things that distinguishes us from a beast. Do you then want, young people, do you want to exercise your body, that body that is so glorified in the day in which we live? And do you never wish to exercise your mind, that is to read the things that the Lord has given us to read concerning His holy word, all that is based on that word? Then you need also to exercise your minds in these things, because they are also contributing to the great comfort that the Lord is giving unto His own children, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise. Thus He connected something spiritual to something that is physical. That connection is not only with water, but the connection is with washing with water. That is the connection with the ceremony. So we have that ceremony of sprinkling. So it is not just bare water, but something is done with that water. And when something is done with that water, then it is that doing what we are doing with that water that the Lord says that has now a special meaning. Thus, it is this divine connection which is giving this external, this physical thing that is just washing with water that we do commonly within our life. But it is this divine connection to it, this adding of a promise to it, which is giving this ceremony its sacramental character. Thus in the Old Testament there were also certain washings, ceremonial purifying. So if someone touched a dead person or something that was unclean, then he had to be washed, he had to be purified. But there was no promise that was connected to that. Thus, it did not have any divine meaning attached to it to make it into a sacrament. But now it is different with this, adding thereto this promise that I am as certainly washed by His blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins. As I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. So here we read the analogy. That is, between certain things that are external and things that are internal. It is an external washing and an internal washing. It is an analogy between washing of the body and the washing of the soul. Thus it is a natural analogy. And it is showing that there are similar uses between between what water can wash and what blood can wash. So that is a natural similarity. Thus, baptism is a commemoration of the internal washing of the soul, the washing of the soul with blood. And that is very like unto the washing of the body with water. The washing of the soul with blood is very much like the washing of the body with water. That is not a comparison of blood and water. They can be very disalike. That is not a comparison of the soul and the body. Those two things can be very much unalike. It is the comparison of the relation between blood and soul and water and body. These two things are being compared one with another. This is, congregation, the analogy. That is what an analogy is. Thus, we have the true analogy that the Lord gives to us in the Holy Supper. And you will say, how is that now different from the analogy which is made by the Baptist church? Well, then they do not deny that there is an analogy as we speak. But that analogy, they say, is not the main thing. That is not what is coming into the foreground. But they make a completely different analogy. Thus, they make baptism to be in the first place and in the main. In the first place, a commemoration of the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they are speaking about the burial and that resurrection, then they must insist that the only mode of baptism is immersion. Because that immersion is then a picture of, as they say, there is a likeness in that immersion. When someone goes down into the water and he comes up out of the water, that is similar, they say, to someone who is spiritually resurrected from the dead. And thus, like someone who is going with Christ into his death and into his burial, and he is arising then with Christ. Why do they say that? They say because Paul says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. However, this phrase, what they speak about, that we are buried with him by baptism into death, that is not speaking about actual baptism. They have to say that themselves. Because they do not believe that it is actual baptism by which a man is buried with him into the death of carnality, let me say. No, they say, well, that is the spiritual meaning. That is exactly right. Thus, it is not speaking directly about water baptism. Thus, the analogy there, that is between the likeness of Christ's resurrection and the spiritual resurrection of the church of God. Baptism is not a commemoration of the burial and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is a commemoration of washing, a commemoration of the cleansing of the soul by the blood, the shed blood of Christ on the cross. Ananias said to Paul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins." And we do never read in the Bible about how that baptism was ever performed. In other words, the mode, whether it was by dipping or by sprinkling or by pouring, we never read in the Bible exactly how that this was done. And we consider that to be indeed irrelevant how that is done. The Greek word baptism is said to mean to dip. That is true. But that is not the only thing it means, because in many places it is also meaning simply to wash. Most of the Jewish purifications, when they purified their vessels and so on, that was not done by dipping. So the Jews were very, very accustomed to the fact that their washings were done by puring, and many of their ceremonial purifications were also done by sprinkling. Thus, in the minds of that Jewish people, there was nothing new, there was nothing surprising about the mode of baptism. When the Lord would cleanse his people, he says, "I will bring them from the heathen." And then the Lord, he says that he will then sprinkle clean water upon them and they shall be clean. Thus, that was for the Jewish people a very common mode of expression. But that becomes even more evident when we consider the meaning of baptism in the next question and the further explanation of that analogy. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? Thus, that is now an explanation when we have the analogy. Now we need to have an explanation of what that analogy means. What is now the spiritual part that the Lord is promising when he compares this to the physical washing of water? And then our fathers speak not about one thing. No, they say that there are two things. So we have two kinds of washing. We have a physical washing and we have a spiritual washing. But in that spiritual washing, there are also two things, and they lay them out for us. It is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by his sacrifice upon the cross. Thus, the meaning of that washing in the first place, then he says that is speaking about justification, that is based on the application. Application is what is taking place in baptism, right? That water is not just staying there, it goes, boys and girls, on the head. It is poured, something happens to it. There is speaking about washing. And thus in justification, then there is an application. It is an application of the blood of the Son of God. And what is now the purpose, the first purpose of the application of that blood? That is for justification. What is justification? We have heard that. Say that is forgiveness. That is what we read in God's word, what it means to stand before our judge and for our judge to say that there is nothing written against you on that account that I have before me. Can you imagine that, young people? You ever go to bed at night and say, what have I done today? Do you ever go to bed at night and lay there a little while without your phone and just think to yourself what life is all about and how that I will have to give an account when I come to the end of my life? And then for every thought, for every word, and for every deed. You ever think about that? Oh, that eunuch that meant something to him. We don't know in the Bible. Bible does not reveal to us all of his sin. Would you want to know that? No. He said, we have enough here, don't we? But now to be forgiven. That justification is that now something that for you is valuable. That you say, oh, if I only knew that. That for myself. Because if I could appear before that judgment seat of God, a congregation, then I can die. Then I can die. Then I can pass out of this life. Oh, what a blessed gift. What a blessing that is portrayed in baptism, but not only so, and also to be renewed by the Holy Ghost. Do you want it too? Or do you only say, I want to be forgiven? But there is in the heart of that people a desire that they may be made different. Different. Say, when does that begin? That is not after many, many years. That is in the first day of true conversion. Then they say, I want to be different. You ever say that, children? Do you ever say, you read in God's word, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is beginning now. That is that new life. That is what that new life consists of. They are new desires. Thus it is speaking about this renewal and sanctified. Oh, to be sanctified? That is to be set apart. Oh, children, what do you think of this? To be set apart. You know that little Samuel, the Lord set him apart. His mother only could see him one time in the year. But he was set apart for the service of the Lord. And then it may be that we are not set apart to work in his vineyard. May the Lord do it. May the Lord do it. But that we are set apart for his service. And now for our heart to long, to yearn for such a blessing that is now part of the fruits, that is the desires that are born from that new life to be sanctified, to be members of Christ, that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Now those benefits, they are not separated from each other. No, those benefits are joined together. Justification and sanctification. That sanctification is flowing out of justification. Because the Lord, he needs to forgive. That is from his side in order that he may give a heart to be born again. That he may give new life to a soul. And thus those things, they are joined together. Also in the sign, in the symbol, in the seal that the Lord has instituted for his church. And now when the Bible is speaking here about applying the blood, that is what it is about, right? Not that that blood is just, we would say, laying there. That cannot be that animal, the sacrifice, was just slain. No, but something had to be done with that blood of that sacrifice. And it is not sufficient that Christ has died upon that cross. No, but something needs to be done with that blood. What is now done with that blood? In your own life, we read of Moses that he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled the book and the people and the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Congregation, every time, I don't know if there is actually an exception to that in the whole Bible, every time that you read about the application of that blood, that is always by what we would call an effusion, that is by pouring, or that is by sprinkling. Thus, on the day of Pentecost, you know that Joel, he was quoted by the apostle, and then he spoke about that spirit that the Lord said that he would pour out his spirit in those days. That is what happened. That spirit was poured out upon that church. Isaiah had prophesied that the Lord was going to sprinkle many nations with his mediatorial sufferings. He would sprinkle them. If the spiritual blessings are always described in the Word of God as being sprinkled, then certainly the symbol that is of those blessings, it is a very natural thing that symbol also would be so gently sprinkled as the Lord is coming with his gifts and with his blessings upon his church. Baptism, that is the appointed sign of entrance into the visible church, so that all those who refuse that sign, and the Lord says they are to be rejected from his church. But that is not only to signify the blessings of the Lord to the church, but it is also to signify the obligations of that church unto the Lord. So there are actually two parts. Also to holy baptism, because in baptism there is an acknowledgement of the triune God, that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then there is a binding of the soul to that blessed Holy Trinity. And then there is a promise that is to walk in all love and obedience unto him. That is, the apostle says, in newness of life, that a man would take up his cross and that he would follow him. Oh, baptism, that symbol that is taken up by the whole church of God, one symbol, that is a representation of that church. And the Lord has given that symbol that church may be in unity, in one spirit, baptized, we read, into one body. Let us sing 323 and 5. What wondrous things the Lord hath wrought. The stone the builders set at naught, established by no human hand, the chiefest cornerstone doth stand. 3 and 5 of Psalter 320. baptism in its essence. First, the analogy in holy baptism. Second, the institution of holy baptism. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This promise is also repeated where the scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Thus our fathers here set before us the institution, the biblical ground that is the foundation of the sacrament of holy baptism that is so important for us to know in order that we may receive the benefit of holy baptism. And when now Christ says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," then he was ready to do what, children? Say, he was ready to go into heaven, right? And to whom is he speaking? He is speaking to his disciples. And those disciples have to go work for him. That is, to go where? Well, he says to teach all nations. What does that mean? That means that that field of labor where he was sending them, that was not just to be the Jewish nation, no, but all nations. And thus we find the widening of the dispensation of the covenant of God that is continually going from that particular dispensation, the patriarchal dispensation, becoming wider, the national dispensation, and now the ecclesiastical dispensation. So the same covenant, but that is going out to more and more, and finally now out to the whole world. And thus, we live in that sense in the most blessed time, that is, in the whole world, in this last time, when that bud that was so closed for thousands of years, 4,000 years, and now open. Beautiful to see a flower, right, children? You say, when it's closed, well, you say there's something in there. And then when it goes open, you say, ah, beautiful. You ever say that? You ever say that? All that New Testament, when that is now opened, and when everything that was so hidden and secret and under the cloud, as it were, in darkness, in the Old Testament, that is now all coming into the light. And when God's servants, they are now sent abroad throughout this whole world that that church of God may be gathered. Or are we also gathered? Because is it going to the mission field and all the places in the world? And what are we doing with it? When it may also belong unto us and to our children, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, thus those who are sent to teach, they are the ones that are commissioned to baptize. And none other, the Roman Catholic Church says that anyone may do it in an emergency. What is that? An emergency. Is baptism an emergency ever? No. There's never an emergency. Well, you say, Moses' son, the Lord was going to slay him. Yes, that was because that he had despised it. But as long as a man is not despising it, O congregation, then there is no emergency. because baptism is not necessary. And if there is in our heart a desire, then when it is withheld from us for a certain amount of time, then there is no emergency that should take place even before a person would pass away. Baptism does not give grace unto a man. Baptism is a sign of grace that a man is given from the Lord. Thus, there is an order also here that is laid down. First, teaching, and then baptizing. And teaching, that does what? Well, that when that is fruitful, is that fruitful here too? When it is fruitful, it makes disciples. When the Spirit of the Lord accompanies it, then there are those that are leaving the service of the world and of sin and of Satan, and they are joining themselves unto Christ and unto His church. Thus the recipients of baptism are not just anyone. No, they are those who are converted to Christ, who are converted to Christianity. Neither may baptism ever be separated from the preaching. And why not? Because it is an analogy. Because the picture is physical. And without an explanation of the analogy, then we cannot understand the things that are represented. Otherwise, it is just superstition. No, there must always be the word, the preaching of the word, connected to the sacrament of baptism, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There we are given by Christ Himself the formula, we call it, of baptism in the name of the triune God. And congregation, here now lies the authority with which a minister does execute this command of Christ to baptize. That is, as if that Christ Himself was administering the baptism. Thus, baptism is holy. Thus, that must be done with awe. That must be done with reverence. That must be seen in the minister. That must be seen in the person being baptized. That must be seen in parents when they bring children for baptism. Then we are to stand in awe. And we are to come with reverence in that sacrament. This triune God declares something in baptism. Do you know what He declares, children? He declares, it's so simple. You can understand it. So simple. He declares that He receives sinners to Himself. In this way, when they may be washed in the blood of His only begotten Son, then He will give to them the blessings of justification, of sanctification, and the renewal. What does that do to your heart? What does that do to your heart? Congregation, is this not the greatest wonder that the Lord is willing to give to us such a blessing? And when we say we have no desire for it, why not? You know, the whole thing goes over. I do not see myself a sinner. That is where the problem lies. It is the lack of the knowledge of myself in the light of who God is, that holy and that righteous God. Oh, that is why that little kitchen maid was taught that prayer, children. Oh, Lord, show me myself. Ah, if we could only be shown ourselves, then we come so low in the dust of self-abasement. And then we say, oh, Lord, is it possible that such a one as I am could be washed, could be washed? Oh, imagine, young people, what that is. When you lay in your bed at night, and when your conscience is speaking, and when you cannot shut your eyes, or you shut your eyes and you cannot go to sleep, maybe for an hour, 2 hours, why not? Say, what have I done? What have I done? You ever lay there like that? And you know what the Bible says? Or if you could be washed, you know, boys and girls, when you go play, then you can be so dirty. When you come in, your mother said, don't step in. Don't step in. You take off there your clothes and you go right in the bath. And when you come out of that bath, that dirt is all gone. It's all gone. You ever think of that? Or what is inside, young people? Because when our conscience is speaking, we know the dirt. We all know it. It's all inside. Ah, could that be washed? Could that now be cleansed? Could that all be taken away? That is now the picture. Is it not simple? The Lord makes that so simple for us. That blessed picture. And as clean then, you say, all that dirt, I see nothing of that anymore. And that is now, when it may be experienced by a true faith. All then you say nothing. You come out of that bath, children, and now you can come by mother and father again, right? Yeah, now you may come in. And that is now how it is. Ah, if we may be washed like this. Ah, then the Lord says, now you may come in. Because I make you a new heart. And all that sin and all that evil, I will take it completely out of you. And when you die, here in this world, and you exchange time for eternity, then I will complete it. So that there will be not one spot, there not be one wrinkle, that you will even be able to see yourself. Oh, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that was baptized only, no, but he that believeth and is baptized. So he adds a condition. What is the condition? You say condition. Is salvation conditional? Say it is unconditional, no? Yeah, that always needs to be explained, right? What do you mean? So there is no condition that needs to be merited. None. Unconditional. But there is a condition in order to receive it. Why? Well, I need eyes to see the light. I need ears to hear. Well, then I also need faith, because that is the only way that I can receive a spiritual blessing. And this blessing is not physical. It is not the physical part of washing. No, it is the spiritual part that my heart needs to receive. And thus, I need to have faith. He that believeth and is baptized, he that has the physical part, we don't need faith for that, right? We can do it without faith. Awful. Awful. Testify against us. But when we receive that sign without faith, we receive nothing, but actually the judgment of the Lord for the blessings that he has given unto us. That is why he says, but he that believeth not shall be damned, even if he is baptized. Congregation, there is more about baptism next week. Our fathers, they have not done it all together because there is too much. Blessed sacrament. So next week, we hope to continue with that. But today is about the essence. Today is about the meaning. Today is about the institution and that great purpose that is to assure, that is to confirm, that is to give confidence so that, God's children may be able to confide, that is to lean, that is to, trust. And what does that true church desire more than to be assured that they are forgiven, that they are renewed, and that they are sanctified by the blood of Christ? What do they need, desire more than to know that? And what is more difficult for a sinner who feels that he is a sinner to receive and to believe that the Lord forgives him, that the Lord cleanses him? Oh, there are times he may believe it. There are times he must believe it. Why? Because the Lord is near to him in sweet communion. Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. And when they are in that place, they can believe it. Because in that place, the Lord reveals to them, to a sinner as they are, who he is in his only begotten Son. Oh, the bride says, his left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he doth embrace me. O congregation, then they say, leave me here, and stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Oh, take me not away from this blessed place of faith. But it does not always stay that way, because it is not heaven here upon the earth. But then they only get little tastes of what heaven actually will be. And now that holy baptism, that is, congregation, a stiller of the turmoil. A stiller of the turmoil, of the waves of affliction, of doubt, of fears, and of unbelief. Oh, then that baptism is standing there, so solid. It is standing there, as so unmovable. Baptism is administered, that is, as a sign of our entrance into what? Into a fold. Into a fold of which Christ has said unto his Father, he says, of them whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. Ah, baptism, that is now the sign of coming in. And baptism that is administered right at that entrance. And it is never administered again. Why not? Does not need to be administered again. Because the word of the Lord, that is good. And when he has spoken, then that word shall be fulfilled. Oh, faith cannot always believe it now. But that is the very reason that the Lord has instituted this holy sacrament. Oh, the true church. They are saved by faith. What a wonder it is that they are not saved on account of faith. Ask the people. Because if they had to be saved on account of faith, well, then it would still be impossible. And still Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, he has counted them all in his Son. And every one of them indeed is counted. Oh, they will know what it means to believe. They will know it. And they will know what it means often not to be able. And then they will know sometimes what it means to receive a little courage and a little strength out of that sacrament of holy baptism. And now if faith one time, only one time may receive the true substance of it. Oh, then it is that the Lord is saying that these are the blessings that he is giving unto them that believe. Oh, then they will come back to it. Then they will come back to it. Also unto that sacrament. From time to time, because it is standing there so steadfast, it is speaking about that blessed promise of God. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble us under thy goodness. Show us the beauty of thy institutions and give them also to be a true help unto thy true church. Lord, they need it because faith is not what that they can exercise in their own power. But thy covenant does stand so true and does stand so firm. Oh, give them to come continually back, that they may receive strength and courage, and that they may magnify thy holy name by believing in thee. Humble us under thy goodness. Bless thy word. Grant us what is necessary further in this day. Our brother as he begins, and also us in the day of tomorrow, with the children and young people in catechism. O Lord, that parents may bring them up faithfully and also instruct them in the lessons that they might be given to learn, and the questions and the answers give an interest, O Lord, to our children and to our young people, that they would not allow these blessed opportunities in the days of their youth to pass by without a care. Wilt thou help us on house visitations beginning again in this week? And when we go from family to family, O Lord, wilt thou bless and give what is necessary to us as office bearers, and also that a little of thy own blessing and work may become evident. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 324, all the stanzas. My grieving soul, revive, O Lord, according to thy word. To thee my ways I have declared, and thou my prayer hast heard. All the stanzas of Psalter 324.
Thank you.
the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.